You're listening to the Home Buyers Hour on WCPT AM 820, and this is where the facts matter. We're in the studio on this gorgeous Saturday morning, and with me, I have a real estate agent, and I lost my number on this. John, how long ago, what year did you start?
I was licensed in 2009, and that would make me 21, and I've been working in real estate in one capacity or another since I was 17.
Fantastic. He's a firm believer in doing videos whenever he sets his properties up. He's also a big believer in preparing and qualifying his clients. He's going to share his knowledge on both of those subjects. And the one thing that I've gotten out of talking with him in the beginning is he's a big believer in giver's gain and a philosophy of helping others and caring for those around him. His name is John Graft. He's with Compass Realty. And John, tell us more about you, your business, how big you guys are, how much you do, and say hello to some loved ones.
Charlie, thanks for having me here today. I really appreciate it. It was really nice getting to know you this morning. I had some breakfast and got to learn more about your business. I've been doing this, like I said, since 2009, or at least been licensed since then. And in that time, I learned a lot about this industry, the different facets of it, how people work together, how to work with clients. And every day I feel like I'm humbled in one way or another to learn more.
It's probably one of the most rewarding careers that anybody can have. I mean, we don't realize how much of an impact we have, but buying a home is one of the basic needs, food, water, shelter, that we have, and we get to help with people doing that.
It's very rewarding, and a lot of times you can lose track of that and forget how big the transaction is for the other person on the other line, your client, because we're used to doing it every day. And some of the things we take for granted or that we don't think are big deals, clients absolutely do. Just before this, I was talking to a client and the exact same thing came up. I was working with another client recently and he called me. He's like, do I need to do anything? He's like waiting for something bad to happen because he had previous bad examples or bad experiences. I was like, no, you're good. We got everything. Don't worry about it.
No, I love that. And how does somebody get a hold of you?
Best way to get a hold of me is on social. It would be at Graft Real Estate, and Graft is G-R-A-F-F-T. And our phone number is 855-4-GRAFT. And again, G-R-A-F-F-T.
And we do record these shows on Wednesday mornings, and we do broadcast them live on Facebook. So don't be afraid to give us a like and shout out. But also remotely, we have Joey Matthews of the Federal Savings Bank. And Joey's our financial expert that we bring on every week. And I always like to find out what the heck is going on in our financial world. So, Joey, if you don't mind, tell us who about your company. How do they get hold of you? And what's going on in the feds?
So what's going on, guys? Joey Matthews, World's Okayest Mortgage Dude, 630-235-2405. You can find me on social media, Joey W. Matthews. Work over at the Federal Savings Bank, NMLS 1330694. I forgot to throw that in right at the beginning. What is going on nowadays? It has been a pretty wild ride. So obviously GDP came in. We are in in what normally is considered a recession. It's for whatever reason, it's not right now, and that's okay.
Definitions are written by the victors. Remember that.
No, I mean, obviously unemployment isn't going higher right now, but it's also the outlying factor would be that COVID, we just went through the biggest unemployment rise in history, so it's a little bit hard to get further into the abyss when you've already been that far down. So that's one of the factors that is leading them from away from saying we're not in a recession, even though we've had two consecutive quarters of shrinking GDP or negative GDP. But anyway, so the fact that GDP came in negatively, shrinking two quarters in a row, we did see the 10-year Treasury yield bond market drop pretty significantly. We were trading in a 2.9% yield area, and we dropped down to about 2.6. As of today, today we've rallied pretty good. It's back to a 2.8% yield. And why does the yield matter? I know I say it every week. It's because mortgage-backed securities, by and large, pivot off of where the yield is, right? So as the yield increases, mortgage rates rise. As the yield decreases, mortgage rates lessen. So when people are buying the 10-year treasury note, if more and more people buy, they buy, the yield shrinks. So you're getting a smaller return because there's so many participants. The same thing in mortgage-backed security world, the more people are buying the 4.5 coupon, the 5 coupon. And when I'm saying these coupon numbers, this is where Fannie Mae trading, they're trading interest at, right?
Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to me and the real estate market?
As we are trading the lower number coupons, rates are coming down, right?
Okay.
So right now, I think the most active coupons are 5%. They only work in 5%. Long story short, over the last 2 days, rates ticked back up after coming back down really significantly on Friday. But I do believe in the next year or so, we will continue to see more rate relief for our consumers, which will be good. We'll get more buyers into the market. We'll see what happens with values. I think that values are going to be strong long term. At the end of the day, the one place that people can always safely invest their money has been in real estate. More millionaires are created in real estate.
We're losing them a little bit on here, but I'm going to keep going, Joey. I'm going to interrupt a little bit. And yeah, no, it's for us, it's always, we notice that as the interest rates are dropping, which it looks like from what I'm hearing, from what you're saying, it's going to be happening over the near future. They're going to be dropping a short bit. We end up getting slower. I don't know if that's the same with you, John, but we find that our business ends up getting slower with the amount of inspections that we do. Whereas when they're going up, it's like that fear of missing out. You know, you want to hurry up and buy, and that's a motivating tool to get people to go ahead and buy their home where it comes in. Do you kind of see the same thing or not?
It's almost counterintuitive. You would expect people to purchase less when rates are rising, but there is a FOMO effect that happens where people want to get in now before rates continue to rise.
And that's what I see. And then we get that quick surge of doing a bunch of inspections, and then things slow down a little bit coming in there. So when I introduced you, I had a few things up in here. I always like to get the highlights of why I think this person is worthy to come on to our radio show. And John, I'm looking you right in the eyes. You are worthy, all right? And
thank
I want
you.
To thank you for being here. One of the things that really interested me was this video stuff that you're doing. And you told me you hired a full-time video, and you're a one-man show, right? Or two-man?
Two-man show.
But you're a single licensed real estate managing broker. Is that the correct title?
Not a managing broker.
Okay.
Yes, just a broker.
All right. So with one assistant coming in there and one videographer.
One person plays both roles.
All right. Now we got it. All right. Give me some scoop. Tell me why you hired a videographer as your very first assistant, and what are you doing with that person?
I think everyone needs to be able to view a home in its best light, its truest light, not necessarily its best light, from the comfort of their own home. And what I like about video is there's no camera tricks. There's no games. I'm going to show it to you exactly the way it is. And so if you're looking at any of my listings, before you ever come and see the property, you'll be able to enjoy it from the comfort of your own home. So in addition to video, we do HDR photography, which means you can see through the windows. It's going to be bright. It's going to look very good. From a seller's perspective, it's going to show the property very well. And then we do a 3D tour as well. So you'll be able to click, go through the whole home from the comfort of your pajamas on your couch or your bed, wherever you are, and actually see this house. And we found it as a phenomenal tool. We started doing this right before 2020, but during 2020 and since then, it's been a very valuable tool because people have come, done all the investigating they need to do via the internet. They come and basically just make sure the property is the way what they thought it was. And that allows people to make offers sight unseen, as well as people just coming, doing a brief walkthrough and saying, okay, this is it. Let's move forward from here.
That makes a lot of sense. It's how do I put this? Instead of you're going out there on Tinder, swiping left and swiping right all the time, and no, I don't have anything to know. Stop looking at me like that, Devin. I don't use Tinder.
Why'd I find you on there last week?
Oh, geez almighty, wrong one. But no, seriously, instead of doing that swipe left, right thing like that, trying to find the right house, you're basically coming clean. But doesn't that harm you a little bit when you list a property? And my rationale is this. You know, I was trying to talk some real estate agents that I have a pretty strong relationship with. I'm like, why don't we do pre-listing inspections? Why don't we get these things out there so that all the information and the negative about the house is there, and that way you have nothing that's going to jump in the way when we find it after the contract's written. And her response was, you know, that when you're dating, do you tell everybody that you're bipolar and, you know, you have all these mental health issues right away? No, you let them fall in love with you first, and then you tell them. What would your response be to something like that?
I don't agree with that at all. So I've tried to do pre-listing inspections. Okay. I think they're a great idea. In other states, they do them all the time.
California, that's all they do.
California,
much.
Seattle, they're run of the mill. You're going to walk into a property and here's the inspection report. I'd rather be forthright with everything with a property.
I like you.
Yeah. You're just going to create a problem for yourself down the line. And after that, the person has buy-in, but the person might not be emotionally attached. So if they aren't, they're going to exit the deal. And then it's going to be worse for the seller because they went from active to contingent, maybe pending, and now they're back to reactivated. Yeah. And that's like someone who's been divorced 3 times. Do you want to go on a date with that person? Because you immediately have red flags. So to use that agent's analogy, you're setting your seller up for failure further down the line, delaying it, and you're guaranteeing they're going to get less money.
And a lot of our listeners aren't going to know what those words that you said were. So you said active, you said contingent.
When something goes into the MLS, first it's listed as new. So for the first 7 days, it's marked online as new. Then it's going to be active. And until it's put under contract, it's going to stay active unless it comes off temporarily in case maybe you have family in for the weekend. You don't want to do any showings. Then you can stop your market time by hitting temporary. But after it goes under contract, it's going to be contingent. And it's going to be contingent upon an attorney review and an inspection. Oftentimes, you get 5 to 10 days, mostly 5 days, for that period to happen. And then after that, it'll go into pending. And what pending means is the attorneys have agreed on everything. The buyer and seller have agreed on the inspection report and what's going to be given. And earnest money, the balance of it, has been handed over.
No, I like all that. And then with your videos, and I don't want to talk about the inspection stuff. I want to focus more on the video things, even though that's a passion of mine, obviously. But how do you get that information out there? So, like you were talking about presenting the home and talking about the different types of appliances
that
were out there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I go through the property, and I talk about everything you may or may not be thinking about. I want to be forthright and... Negatives in a home are always going to exist. It's about framing it in a way so the potential buyer doesn't see it as a negative. Maybe they don't see it as a positive, but it's important to not shine light on it as a negative because it's only a negative in perception. Some things for some people are negatives and others are positives. It all depends who your audience is. So you try to connect with the home and try to figure out who is this home suit. You know, for a single person, maybe this, I can't think of an example right now, but maybe something would be perceived as a negative. Maybe it's too large, there's too many rooms, they don't want to heat it or clean it. But for a family, it's perfect. So it's all about who your audience is and who that home is going to target.
No, I can see that. You know, some single homeowners, they'd rather be in a condo, you know, where there's an association that's going to shovel your driveway, cut your grass, take care of any exterior stuff. I get all that. And maybe they still would rather have a house on their own and hire somebody to do it. There's something for everyone. There's
different strokes for different folks.
I think there's a bunch of different sayings like that. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, and no, those are all major pluses. So how do you come in there? Like we were talking about furnaces a little bit earlier, which by the way, you know, as a home inspection nerd, all right, when you're like talking, you know, that's like crack cocaine for me when you talk furnaces like that. That's good stuff, and I could get addicted to it. So tell me, how would you put in the videos what type of furnace and how you would explain to somebody?
So we can do text overlays, but what do we do in our descriptions? Our descriptions are also very detailed compared to the average agent. For the MLS...
I'm going to interrupt real quick. Aren't you limited on... how much you could put in there?
Not anymore. So it's like 20. Really? It's like 2,500 characters. You could put a novel in there if you wanted to.
Interesting.
You used to be limited to 250 characters, and then it was 500. And year over year, they've been increasing that amount. Now it's a number that you'll never reach.
More people want to know.
Exactly. People want information. Yeah. And before, we'd have to put a lot of this information in the agent remarks. So it wouldn't be available to the public. You'd have to talk to your agents in order to get it. I don't like that philosophy. One, it creates more work on our end. Because if you're calling asking for things, yes, we can capture your lead. And that's That's good. Yeah. But I like putting the information out there so you always have it. And that way, you know the appliances, you know what the warranties are, you know when the roof was put on, you know when the building was built, you know all of these things right in the description. We even put transit times to downtown. We do a walk score, bike score, transit score, and how long it'll take you to bike, walk, or take the train downtown.
That's interesting where it comes into it. But, you know, tell me more about, again, I'm going to take you right back to that damn Carrier furnace. We're going to go ahead and talk about that one. So somebody has a Carrier furnace. What are you going to tell them?
I'm going to say it's an entry-level furnace.
Okay.
And what's important, first off, it's about the location. My tagline is location, location, graft, because I think location is where it all begins. Then from there, you talk about floor plan. Then from there, you talk about finishes. From there, you go to mechanicals. So to me, that's on the fourth tier of importance. And while those mechanicals are extremely important, I can swap out a furnace. I can swap a roof. I can swap appliances. I can swap a kitchen. I can change a lot of things in the home. But the one thing I can't change is the location. And the one thing that's hard to change is the floor plan.
No, I got you. Our producer, Devin, here, by the way, thank you, Devin. Noticed I was looking for a pen because I was taking notes on this. Location, location, graft. Graft?
Yeah, location, location, graft.
Explain that.
Most important things in real estate.
I love it. Yeah. You know, so I kind of switched that up a little bit. For me, it's, I always say the three most important words are going to be reputation, reputation, reputation. And, you know, I always focus on, you know, people don't hire us because you can get any real estate agent to unlock a door.
Mm-hmm.
You agree with that statement?
Absolutely.
But what makes you different? What makes John Graft different? Why does he get to be one of the top three words, location, location, graft? And by the way, I love it and I'm stealing it, all right? So, of course, I'm going to throw a Bellefontaine in there.
The importance of the realtor is not about opening the door for you. It's about identifying the things that are important to you in the home, but also negotiating. And the relationships that I've garnered over the years with other realtors throughout Chicagoland are important in achieving that for my clients. So working with an agent is so important, and a good agent, because they're going to know what's wrong with the home before you get to the inspection. They're going to understand the different types of building materials. They're going to understand the appreciation on this part of town versus another part of town and the difference in these school districts. It's about having intimate knowledge with the area, but also the real estate itself. And I think there's realtors that are skilled in many different areas. It's harder to find someone who's well-rounded in all of them.
Yeah, I mean, even the locations, skill districts, you know, and everything that's included. I mean, if we start looking at all six counties around the Chicagoland area, I believe it's like 273. And that's what Chicago counting is one. Mm-hmm. All right. There's 273 different municipalities or governments in the six-county region in that, which means there's a lot of school districts, a lot of libraries. And even in the city of Chicago, we have a lot of schools with the primary all the way up to the high schools and charters. How do you know all that?
Great question. Well, we talked earlier, I don't have a car. I don't have a car because I only work in Chicago.
And I was kind of giggling about that a little bit. This is the first real estate agent I ever met without a car.
Well, it's crazy. The car became this status symbol.
Yes.
Right?
They all want to drive their big, fancy, expensive cars.
Yeah, right. They go home, they live in a one-bedroom apartment or a studio, but they have the super nice car. And that's just not my style. But more so, more importantly, is I was doing my taxes 8 years ago, and I talking to my accountant, he told me how much I was spending on my car. I owned my car too, so my monthly expenses were $597.
That's a lot of money for owning a car.
So, yeah, for having no car payment. So you add a car payment on there, you're at least $1,200. I can Uber everywhere for that. Not only that, but I'm gaining time in the back seat. So most agents, they come home, they sit in front of their laptop for one more hour, and they complete the day. I've already completed my day being in the back seat all day. And I get more time with my clients when I'm talking to them.
That's huge.
Yeah. One of the things I hate doing is talking and driving. One thing, it's distracting, it's dangerous, it's all these things. So I like to sit in the back seat, be able to focus on whatever it is I'm doing. And then if I have a client in the car with me, great, I can connect with the client even more. And that's what I like about the walking too. When we're walking to and from a lot of properties, you're actually able to get to know the person. And there's a lot of realtors who look at this as purely a business. They don't want to get to know their clients. They're here for the transaction. Bam, we're done. Nice to meet you. Here's your bottle of champagne, and you'll get some emails, and I'll drip on you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about you. My business is much more intimate than that. My focus is having a higher hourly, what I'm paid hourly is, I guess, the best way to put it. I think there's way more time in my hours, way more investment into my hours.
Value.
And that's how I'd like to put it.
You know, and again, it goes back to what I was saying before. Part of what we do, and Joey, I think you're back on again. You chime in and, you know, agree or disagree at any time. But it's all about building relationships. That's what this business, and it is a business, all right? That's what this business is really about, is building relationships. And I'm going to give a little plug to the Business Networking International. BNI, I think, is a great organization, and their training, which I just started doing recently, is amazing. All right? I learned so much, and it goes back to another old saying, you just don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
All right? And when you don't realize you didn't know something about building those relationships, it's like, holy cow, and it's eye-opening, and it's the aha moment, and it's like, this is what this is really about. So building those relationships, first you got to get to know somebody, all right? And if you don't know them, then you can't like them. And then once you like them, then you got to get to the trust point. And if somebody, if you have a client that doesn't trust you, and you disagree with me, both of you, anytime, if you get a client that doesn't trust you, they're not going to be your client for long.
Absolutely.
All right.
Trust is, you said it right. Likeability is first, because if you don't have likeability, you're not going to get to the trust factor.
No.
But I've gotten past the likeability point to the trust factor, almost to a point where the client doesn't necessarily even like me sometimes, but they know I'm advocating for them because I'm telling them things they don't want to hear. And I'm saying, don't do this.
But that's where the honesty and the trustworthiness and everything else. And that's once you, and that's where I think a lot of agents, God, I'm so happy you're here. That's where a lot of agents fail. All right. Quite frankly, I look at this like marriages and divorces. All right. We marry somebody and we love them. All right. And then you start asking, why do you hate somebody? You know, after they get divorced, why do they get so bitter and angry at each other? Because you never trusted another human being as much as you did that spouse of yours. Mm-hmm. And only that person can hurt you. Now you take into, I'm getting emotional here, I'm sorry. Now you take into buying a house, which again is one of the most emotional things that a human being can do. And if we, any real estate professional, no matter what angle you're coming in on this, we violate that trust, we have harmed that client, and that client is going to be angry, and they're going to do angry things.
Well, and the client rarely knows, too. The client never sees what's really happening at their listings. For instance, we were talking yesterday. I showed someone a property, beautiful property by a very well-known builder. The agent has a lot of hubris, and in his listing sheet, it said it was 1,400 square feet. It said it had 10-foot ceilings. And it said, there's one other thing, but those two things. We go in, there's 9-foot ceilings, and it's 1150 at best. And actually, you can't make it 1400 square feet. It's impossible based on the FAR, the zoning of the property. So,
but isn't that a complaint in itself when you mislead like that?
Well, so here's what happened. My client walked in, noticed these things, and he liked the property, but he was like, I can't trust anything here. And he took it off his list. And that was a very viable prospect for him. And it's a shame because that seller isn't going to receive an offer from us. And we're a cash buyer, too.
Yeah.
So he's not going to receive an offer because his agent is a little too cocky and distrustful.
Which is a horrible thing. And they exist out there. You know, and that's like another one of our beefs that we talk about. And I think you and I agree on this one. You know, not first of all, no professional is the same. All humans are different. All right. But I'm looking at our time clock right now. John, I need you to spell out your contact information and how people get a hold of you. And please go. And
yeah,
Joey, I'm going to get you next.
So I'm John Graft. That's John, J-O-H-N, G-R-A-F-F-T. My phone number is 855-4-GRAFT, G-R-A-F-F-T. And you can find me on social at Graft Real Estate. And definitely search on YouTube or Instagram. Those are going to be the best places.
Yeah, we definitely want to get linked up onto your YouTube site. I would like to go ahead and put a link to that as well. I'm really interested Because you do a lot of, you know, I guess you could call them training videos, right?
We've done over 200 videos showing
200.
Different. 200. Yeah. We're near 250 now, doing different properties throughout Chicago and walking through, explaining the benefits, explaining everything in the property, as well as we do interviews with local businesses.
Let's get to that in a little bit. Joey, if you don't mind, get us caught up on how do people get hold of you.
Yeah, this has been great to listen to. Sorry, I've been in and out. Joey Matthews over at the Federal Savings Bank. Best way to get a hold of me is my cell phone. Call or text anytime, 630-235-2405.
And my name is Charlie Bellefontaine, and our home inspection company name is Chicagoland Home Inspectors. That's plural, O-R-S. Our website is The Home Inspectors, again, plural, O-R-S, and it's a .com. Our phone number is 312-544-9180. Joey, catch this. John here, during the COVID stuff, he started noticing a bunch of the local businesses in his neighborhood going out. And John, how many followers do you have on YouTube?
On YouTube, I think we're just at 2,500.
2,500.
On
I'm
Instagram,
jealous.
On Instagram, we're over 8,000.
Over 8,000 and 2,500. Big numbers, John. So he's going ahead and he's putting free. You don't charge him for this, right? Making these videos about the restaurants.
We don't charge
such.
The businesses.
So he's going out there, finding the local business in his area, and he's just going into detail about what makes them special and unique. Is that fair to say?
I sit down with the owner and I humanize the owner. I think a lot of us see storefronts. We like the products they sell. We like the services they provide, but we don't know who's behind it. And I think if you can connect with the owner, you're going to like that business a little bit more, hopefully, and understand what makes it tick and the sweat, the blood, the tears, everything that's behind it. Right. And doing these interviews has been so insightful because you get to hear everyone's story. And every entrepreneur has something in common. They all sacrifice to get where they are.
You have to. You know, there's a saying, and I wish I could remember who said it, but, you know, a true entrepreneur is somebody who does all the things that another person won't do so they can live a lifestyle down the road that other people can't.
Yeah.
And I believe in that, you know, and I'm trying to work hard, but I want to do it right, all right? There's a lot of people that can go ahead and throw money in it, shortchange it, do everything fast, and it goes back to the old contractor statement, good, fast, and cheap. You only get two, right? And I just don't want it to be done poorly, you know? My reputation is the most important thing. You mentioned location, location, graft. I believe it's reputation, 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 and we should know who or how we want to be known, all right? So tell me more a little bit about, I want to, you know, if you don't mind, bring me up one of the recent businesses that you did a video with and tell me about them.
Well, what's been beautiful about this process is I did it to help struggling businesses in the beginning, to highlight the places I loved. And I did that because I don't have a car. So what I spend my time during the day is I'm in this business or I'm in that business and I'm having a cup of coffee here or having some tea there. So I spend a lot of time in other places and I'm on my phone. When this happened, since then, we've done over 35 businesses that we have published, I believe. And now we're
35 is awesome.
And now we're starting to do the businesses that I want to interview. So we just did Booth Hansen.
All right. Where's that at?
Booth Hansen is a premier architecture firm in Chicago. They do work all over the world.
Okay.
But they're probably, in my opinion, Chicago's best firm.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you for an introduction because I'm trying to build my network up, and yeah. I'd like to get to know more architects as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know that company, but tell me about them. What did you find out about them?
Well, I decided to interview them because with walking so many different properties in Chicago, some stand out for all the right reasons. And when you start realizing that a lot of the properties you love were done by the same company, you want to understand why they feel that way. And so I had a great opportunity to sit down with two of the main guys there who explain their process. And what's unique and rare about them is they will work on single family homes and they'll work on institutional buildings for the University of Illinois at Chicago. And they do everything in between.
That's cool.
Yeah, and they'll do hundreds of units in multifamily buildings. If you're familiar with RH Downtown Restoration Hardware, they did.
Yeah,
they did,
I love that place on Grand Avenue, right?
No.
Or am I thinking the wrong one?
No, wrong. This one's on Dearborn.
Dearborn, okay.
And so they did that build out, which is one of the most impressive places in the world.
Nice. I know there was one, and maybe it is the same one, where it's a wedding venue as well.
That for Restoration Hardware? I don't know. But Architectural Artifacts, which we just did an interview with, they had a wedding venue.
Maybe it's them.
On Ravenswood.
Okay.
And now they're going to have one at this new location at Hill in Orleans in Old Town.
It's cool. I love going into those places. And
oh, yeah.
And I'm, again, when I get into something from the 1900s early on, I just, you know, it's just cool, especially when somebody takes the time to go ahead and fix it up and make it look new again, all right? So one of the other things that we talked about, I'm going to switch gears a little bit here. One of the other things we talked about is preparing your clients and qualifying your clients. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Yeah. So I prefer to work with sellers. I prefer to work with sellers because they're signing a contract to sell their home. They need to sell for one reason or another.
I'm going to interrupt one more time. There's something unique you told me earlier. You don't have an unlimited number. You limit the amount of clients you have, right?
Yes. So I work with up to 9 people, and I decided on that number because it's the number of text messages I can pin on the top of my phone, and it became a manageable number of people.
Okay.
And I could hire a team. I could do lots of different things, but I think a lot of the quality gets eroded when you start adding people onto a team. And I've had as many as 15 people work for me, and it was hell.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good thing. And I'm not about numbers in terms of people. I'm more about the property. I want to sell the most unique, lovely, beautiful properties there are. The more details in a home, the more things I can talk about, the more things that demonstrate, the better of a sales presentation I can provide.
What are some of the most unique things you had to demonstrate? That's interesting. I mean, I'm going to get back to preparing the clients. Don't get me wrong, but you keep throwing this stuff out of here and I get all nerded.
I mean, I love seeing a pool where the cover on it you can walk on, so it becomes part of the surface of the room. So all
that's
of a sudden,
cool.
There's a pool, but all of a sudden you're just here. We're just hanging out. Wine cellars you walk down into. So it's like you're in the middle of the kitchen and the island pops up and you go down through the island.
No way.
Yes. Lots of very cool things. Or safe rooms in homes.
I've heard of them, but I really haven't seen too many.
I never get to put those on the video, but some of these homes have unbelievable safe rooms that it's a command center.
That is awesome. With videos everywhere.
Yeah.
Who was the actress that I remember I saw a roomy safe house or whatever? Not safe house, but anyway, I digressed and I go on there. So give me more. Preparing buyers.
So the unfortunate part of working with buyers is I just worked with a couple for 6 months. Then they broke up.
Oh.
Right? So I lose all my time.
Yeah.
And if someone's committed to buying, I want to be there for them. But if they're still thinking about it, if they're not 100% certain this is the right move for them, unfortunately, because my time is my only asset, I don't get a paycheck and I'm only able to earn if you close on the home, I can't work with that person.
That makes a lot of sense, you know? And you can't just take anybody on. How do you know who's going to be there for you and who isn't?
Well, I sit down with them, and I think that's a big difference too.
I said that wrong. Who are you going to be there for? Because you're there for your client. They're not there for you.
I knew what you meant.
Oh, thank you.
A lot of people get leads from... They will start working with clients because they'll use a service like Zillow where they're paying $11,000 a month for leads.
Ouch.
And off that 11 grand, they'll maybe make 12. So they'll make $1,000 that month. But Zillow will tell you, hey, it's okay. This is going to be your client for life. And they're going to refer you to people. And they're going to sell this home 5 years from now. And I think that might have been a good business model if you got in on the ground floor. And now they do something called cream skimming. So they have a number of agents that they work with on a referral basis.
Okay.
And those agents get the best leads that come through Zillow. So if you're paying Zillow nowadays, you're getting kind of the worst leads that exist. And most people are calling Zillow just because they want information, not because they want to work with an agent.
Right.
Those agents will come, meet you at a property, and they try to build the relationship from there. Sometimes I'll do that. But what I like to do beforehand is sit down with the person, get to know them, see what their goals are, and see if it is a good fit. And if the person doesn't have time for that, then how are they going to have time for me? How are they going to have time for to look at a home? And how do they know that that's really what they're looking for? I'm not just here to open doors. I'm here to be your advocate.
And that makes perfect sense to me because, like I said, when we built our business, we did a direct-to-consumer marketing. So we focused heavy on Yelp, Google, and things like that. We built a strong reputation, all right? More so because I got poisoned, all right? And I fell into the same trap that I think every American does. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, our society is very prejudicial. So I ran into a few bad real estate agents that didn't really care about their clients, and that's how I judged them. And so all of a sudden, every single real estate agent doesn't care about their clients. Isn't it amazing? But we find some special people, all right? Some good real estate agents that do, and I've been trying to build relationships with them. And this is where that I'm relating to what you're saying. I don't need to work with everyone. You don't need to work with every buyer. It's best to get that out in the open now, all right, in the very beginning. And if we're a fit, let's make it work. If we're not a fit, you know, let me introduce you to somebody else.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's good to get to know the clients. And if you're going to be a good fit, you're going to be able to help them because, I don't know, every time you try to force something or every time you, and you tell me if you're any different, like we won't do inspections in the afternoon. We won't do inspections in the evening. We're only going to do one a day. Yes, we're going to be on site three. We've been known to be there 5 hours. It depends on our client, depends on our building. We make that clear up front. All right. If somebody doesn't want that, and we've had agents, you know, tell us you're not allowed to be in this house. We, you know, the worst was 45 minutes, and I shared that with you.
I think that's hilarious. Yeah. It's so funny to me because if you were in a home, I had a home inspection once on a ranch home. It might have been 2,800 square feet. It was all day. And was I exhausted? Was I happy to be there?
No.
No. But all I thought in my head is, damn, they're good.
Which is important, and that's their reputation. And quite frankly, I hope it was us that was in
been.
There.
It might have been.
We don't know. We should research and find out.
Yeah.
Because as long as my client's happy, that's the number one thing. And if I have a real estate agent that I'm a business-to-business partner with, and that real estate agent puts their client number one, I know we're going to be a good fit. All right? And then we're going to both be focusing on what's best for our clients. As long as it's accurate, there's no baloney. We're not inflating or deflating anything. We're just, this is what it is. This is what it's going to cost to cure. And then, you know, you could decide where this is in the ramifications of things, how serious. We'll help them. But where they could prioritize it. Because quite frankly, I don't know. You tell me. I'm going to just guess a number here, 90%. 90% of the stuff that we document in our reports, people can live with. It's really, you know, it's wrong.
It's something you want to know about.
That's the key when our focus group, my God, I can't believe you just said that. Our clients come back to us and they said, we just want to know.
Yeah.
We want to make our own decisions.
It's their decision if they want to fix it or not. And fix is an optimal word. Does it need to be fixed? Maybe not. It's been working this way for 2 decades. Maybe it's fine just the way it is.
And Devin, you've been listening to a lot of our guests over here. Would you say that's kind of a common denominator for the people that we've been bringing in here? They just want to do what's best for their clients?
I'm trying to figure out, Charlie, would you bring someone who wouldn't want to do his best for their clients?
No, you're right. That was kind of a leading question a little bit. I'm almost embarrassed that I asked you.
Underhand softballs.
Right. Well, no, why would I? You hit it on the head. Why would anybody want to bring somebody on here to go ahead and get the word out to the entire Chicagoland area about, you know, treating clients poorly? But there are many out there that do. All right? And they're just uneducated. So let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit. And Joey, do you do anything when it comes to donating time, money, energy? What do you do to help charities? And which ones?
I do it constantly. Essentially, I like to talk to clients, find out what they're passionate about. And a lot of times they will reach out to me and say, hey, we're doing this outing, we're doing this dinner, this benefit, whatever. Would you like to participate? And I mean, I always do. Like, that's something that I've always enjoyed being a part of. This is one that just recently affected me, but children's cancer research. I always donate to those charities. I have clients that have been affected by that. A lot of firefighter charitable foundations, because I was a full-time firefighter for so long. They'll do golf outings. They'll do banquets, whatever. And I always donate. I always like to sponsor those events, make sure that, you know, I'm part of those. And it's great for networking, too, especially with causes that are near and dear to your heart, because right off the bat, you already have something in common with the person that you're talking to, right? You're at the same thing for the same reason, and there's something that you can build off of. So, yeah, I've always been a big believer in donating and sponsoring. I probably don't have the ability to say no when it comes to someone saying, hey, can you help with this? Can you help with that? And just like, yes, I sure can, every single time. So, yeah, it's huge. It is huge. And it's important.
So did I tell you about my new charity, Charlie's House? Maybe I could get you to contribute to that one.
What does it benefit, Charlie? What does it benefit? Does it benefit people outside of Charlie? Because I would do it.
Well, there's three people, me, myself, and I. All right, so that's about all it's going to benefit. No, but like Burn Camp, for example, I know that's one that's really near and dear to me, you know, down through the Illinois Fire Safety Institute. Yeah, it's huge, you know, and I like to give to that one. And then we were chatting a little bit about, I'm drawing a blank here, what's the name of the Habitat for Humanity? Mm-hmm. We were talking about that one. What are, you know, John, what are some of your big charitable things that you kind of want to build relationships with?
So my favorite way to give back is to actually give back.
Interesting.
So my wife provides mini pies to Dom's Market in Lincoln Park in Chicago.
Okay.
So she's a chef, and we have a big R&D department in our kitchen, and we're always trying out new things, and we always have a lot of food left over. And we live in Old Town. There's a lot of homeless in Old Town.
Okay.
And we walk, and we give this food to people, actual people. Do it directly. And
you don't ask for anything in return, of course.
No, of course not. And we see these people every day. Yeah. It's hard not to give them a nod on the street. It's hard not to acknowledge them, and I think it's rude to not acknowledge them.
We should always acknowledge every human being that walks into a room or that we come in contact with. Yeah. They are valuable.
And and every time I want to go buy new clothes, it feels good to know, like, I have a place to bring my clothes. And,
nice.
And it might be secondhand, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, and it's a little bit different when you're giving it to the end user. And I'm not bashing Goodwill or Salvation Army. Those are
great
organizations.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal.
It's easier for me to just go downstairs. And it's, my wife always jokes. She sees someone down the street, and she's like, the guy's wearing all of your clothes, like head to toe. It's like, yeah, good.
Well, at least you know he's physically fit. That's all. You know, it won't be a person my size wearing his clothes. You know, it's... You know, I'm going to make fun of John a little bit here. You know, he's ordering a spinach omelet for breakfast and eating all healthy. And then what do? Give me the sausage links and the eggs, you know. I'll go all bad. And Devin's giving me the old fist bump. Way to go, Charlie. You know, I'm like, I'm past that age of physical fitness anymore. I'm going to be physically fat, and that's all there is to it. You know, and we're going to have to live with it if you want to be in my life. That's it. And I'm okay with myself, so we'll go from there. Do you have any, like, personal stories when, you know, somebody walking up to you after, you know, you might not recognize it, but they come up to you and just say, hey, thanks?
I have a better story. So we made a bunch of food. It wasn't great. I wouldn't call it bad, but it was a new recipe for cookies.
Okay.
And it was using a substitute ingredient. So we packaged them up. We brought them out and we handed them out. We go by the L stop and we handed a bunch out there. Well, we do this on our nightly walks. So we do a big loop. We come back about 30 minutes later, and all the food was on the ground, smashed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's okay. The food wasn't good. And it was a lesson that just because someone doesn't have a home or they're unable to get food this day, doesn't mean they want bad food. And I think that was an interesting lesson, because to us, we're like, okay, well, we're giving someone who has nothing something. Well, sometimes you need more than just something. And,
yeah.
and you can't give an inferior product just because of who the end user is.
I think Seinfeld did an episode on that with the muffin tops.
Oh, yeah, right? We don't want your tops. We don't want your stumps.
Yeah, we don't want your stumps.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I'm sorry. I should giggle, but that was a good episode.
It was funny, yeah.
When it comes in there. No, I think that's amazing. And how long have you been doing that?
I mean, maybe 4 years now.
4 years is amazing.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. And you and your wife do this together. You just take something out there, and
this
whoever is there
something
is
we
there.
Can, this is what we can do every day in our life.
Sounds good. Yeah, I want to start building more relationships with charities. And Joey, I was even talking with John a little bit earlier. Maybe we should try and getting a bigger multi-industry, you know, faction together that wants to go ahead and start doing some of this charitable work. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, advertising or promoting that you did it. I mean, is that gloating? Is that...
It's virtue signaling, but that's why most people are doing it, and that's the reason you get a tax write-off for it, too. There needs to be a benefit for the person doing it, otherwise no one would.
So that doesn't make me a bad person because I want to do that. Good.
Not at all.
Good, good, good. I mean, it's always nice to be humble. I try to be as humble as I can, you know, and recognitions comes in there, and I'm like, holy cow, why is somebody saying this about me? I don't deserve that, you know, and I'm probably my biggest critic when it comes to things. Just like when I listen to myself on the radio, I sound horrible. on this radio, but other people say you sound great. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever.
Well, there's a reason you only see so many anonymous on all the buildings and you see way more names.
Exactly, which makes sense, which makes a lot of sense. So let's talk a little bit more about business. And I want to get back to preparing the clients and finding out they're a good fit. And we got roughly about 10 minutes left, maybe a little less, to go on here. And I'd like to hear you and Joey talk about this one, too. How do you help somebody get pre-approved for their loans? How do you help somebody figure out what price range they should be looking in there? And how do you get the buy-in? Because it's not our decision. I think you and I agree with that. It's our client's decision on what they're going to go for, right?
What I think is interesting about the lending process or the home buying process is that someone doesn't have to give all of their sensitive materials, all their W-2s, 1099s, whatever income they're receiving, to the realtor. They only have to give them to the lender. So I can bifurcate that part of the sensitive information. You can deal directly with the lender, and then you can come back to me and say, you know what, I talked with Joey here, and Joey said I can spend up to $1 million a year. So that's the number I'm trying to target. If we can keep it under that, great. I'd like to keep it under it, but that's where I know I'm comfortable.
Joey, can I spend $1 million?
You know what, Charlie? I'm going to shoot you a link to my app. I'm going to go on. We'll figure out where you're at. But no, I actually got nervous for a second when you were speaking, John. But yeah, I absolutely agree. The biggest thing for me is making sure they're comfortable with their monthly payment. I don't want people to overextend themselves and hate me in 2 years because it's not good for them. It's not good for me. And it's not good for my realtor relationship. So yeah, big fan. Only spend what you're comfortable with, and then reverse engineer what kind of loan amount you're looking at based on how much you want to put down, how much you're comfortable spending, and then we get an idea of what we can look for.
But how do you talk somebody into buying a little less, though, Joey? I mean, it's the big American dream is the big, gigantic home with the, you know, the granite countertops and everything else. How do you talk them into less?
Into less. So it's not necessarily talking them into less. It is considering where they are in life, right? Single guy trying to buy a ridiculously large home. We have no idea where his life is going yet. He doesn't have kids. He doesn't have a girlfriend yet, or a girl doesn't have a boyfriend yet. So you don't even know where their end place is going to be, because families come from all kinds of different areas, right? Understanding where they are in life and helping them see the big picture at the end of the day. And for me, if someone says they're comfortable spending $2,000 a month and it works for debt ratios, or if they're comfortable spending $3,000, whatever the number is, and it works for their debt ratios, I'll say, yeah, and this, if you want to spend that, this is around where you could buy for. Now, I'm going to have I will run pre-approvals based on every property that you look at that you would like to make an offer on, because it's Illinois. Taxes are insane depending on where you're at. A $400,000 house in Naperville is going to cost more than a $400,000 house on the south side of Chicago, right? Because the taxes are going to be significantly different. I'm talking probably a $9,000 gap in taxes, an $8,000 gap in taxes there. So that's huge. That's huge for your spend. So location matters. Location graph.
I think we both like that a lot.
I know. Guidelines, Matthew.
I love it.
So, no, it's having the conversation, figuring out where they are in life, and really just guiding them along. But I mean, at the end of the day, I can tell them where they need to be around, and then the realtor can work with them with the search, right? The search is on them with the realtor. I can just work out numbers for the places that you're looking at to make sure you're comfortable with what you're doing.
Where do you feel that, you know, what's a good spot for clients to be in that debt ratio thing?
One third of their expenses is where I think it should be. And whatever it is on a monthly basis. And instead of thinking about how expensive the home is going to be, think about how much you can afford a month and work backwards from there, instead of trying to think of the value.
And that's kind of what you were saying, right, Joey? There's other things you got to take into the taxes you mentioned. Insurance, that comes in there too, right?
Insurance, taxes, the whole shebang, HOA costs, all that.
And that's part of that escrow fund, right?
Yeah, if you want to, in some situations you may be required to have escrow. Some you may not. If you don't have escrow, obviously you want to make sure that you have your money set aside in an interest-bearing savings account. or an investment or market, money market account, to make sure that you have the funds to pay them when they come due, so you don't end up in a tax sale situation or losing the house because you failed to pay your taxes, right? I personally have escrow just because I like to set it and forget it, walk away.
That's me.
Some people, yeah, some people are just sensitive to that.
That's my wife. Yeah, I want everything automated, and she wants hands-on.
People may not always remember how much they paid for a house, but they always know how much they're paying every month.
Especially when you got to write that check, which I'm thankful I don't have to do that anymore. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So going back to, you know, I want to focus a little bit more on the loan process and getting people, but we are running short on time. So before we do that, let's go around the horn again. I'm going to start with John. I'm going to start with John again. And give us your contact information, please.
John Graft and 8554 Graft. That's G-R-A-F-F-T.
And it's a number 4.
Yeah, the number 4. And on social, it's Graft Real Estate, G-R-A-F-F-T Real Estate. And you can find us on YouTube and Instagram.
And you're going to go ahead and give me the links to your YouTube and Instagram. So if anybody does a search on Facebook for the Home Buyer's Hour, or if you can also find it through Chicagoland Home Inspectors, there's a backlink in there as well. We're going to have links to his, and I'm definitely going to get on that, like and subscribe, and I'm even going to hit the little bell so I get alerted when everything happens and that. And I'm hoping you're going to return the favor.
Absolutely.
Because we put a lot of training videos out on our stuff, and we make it open to the public. In fact, our whole training program is open to anybody who's interested in learning more about houses, how they're put together, what inspectors look for. There's roughly about 40, 50 hours worth of videos pertaining to just that. And it's quite a bit in depth. All right. We feel that we go far more over than most other people do. The name of our company is Chicagoland Home Inspectors, and our website is www.thehomeinspectors, and that's .com. And our phone number is 312-544-9180. Joey, how about you?
Joey Matthews, world's okayest mortgage dude. Cell phone is the best way, 630-235-2405. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. I even do TikToks once in a while at Mortgages Are Fun. So yeah, I'm available.
No, I always love that. Tell me more about your app, Joey. And, you know, tell me in such a way that John here would want to use your app for his guys. How fast can you get those pre-approval letters?
So when I do an initial pre-approval, I'll send out the pre-approval, but I'm also on the back end figuring out what our max amounts are, and I'm plugging those parameters into our system, which pushes out to an application which our buyers can use and their buyers' realtors can use through an invite from the buyer, that allow you to go out and shop houses, update tax information, update HOAs, update the potential insurance costs, purchase price, loan amount, all that good stuff within the app. And if it meets the parameters and the borrower will see what their monthly payment would look like, you will be able to click a button to get a brand new pre-approval sent to you on the spot that is property specific. Within literally you clicking it, it just immediately sending to your email.
That's pretty impressive. I know we had a real estate agent on here before that when the market was just crazy on her listing, she would not accept an offer with less than 24 hours, was it? Do you remember, Joe? It was 24 hours notice. So she wouldn't take a pre-approval letter that was older than 24 hours, which, you know, at first I was like, that's crazy. But anyway, we ran out of time. I'm sorry. My name is Charlie, and you're listening to WCPT AM 820, where the facts matter, and Charlie is out. Thank you for listening.